Jesus is there and he's preaching to the people. And you can imagine how good Jesus' preaching is. You know, he's sharing the gospel, the good news with the people. He's telling them all of the wonderful things God has done and all the wonderful things God is doing. But then Jesus, in the amongst of telling them this, he stops and he says, hang on, I need to give these people food. You know, and for me, it says to us, I think, that we want to tell people about Jesus, don't we? We obviously want to. We want to tell them how he's changed our lives. But even Jesus recognized that hungry people can't hear the good news. People who are in need, they struggle to hear the good news. If I'd have been Jesus at this point, and thank God I'm not, because I would have been like, guys, seriously, suck it up. You're a bit hungry. Come on. This is really important stuff. This is way more important than your bellies. But Jesus, he's so much better than me, thankfully. He says, no, hang on. These guys are hungry. I need to feed them. And so he gets his disciples to feed them, and he feeds them by this miracle. Yeah, you better run. And he feeds them by this miracle. And I think there's an example there for us as church that, you know what, we want to share the gospel. We want to tell people about Jesus. But actually, first and foremost, we've got to show them the love of Jesus before we tell them about it. And that's what Jesus did. You know, he fed them. We've got to meet the needs of people before they can hear the wonder of God. We have to show them. But anyway, the next part of the story, I think, is the important bit. So after this happens, Jesus feeds the people by this amazing miracle. Then his disciples get in boats and they go across the other side of the lake. Jesus then goes across the other side of the lake, not in a boat. That's a whole other story. Okay, he walks across. We won't go into that now. But he gets across the other side, meets up with his disciples. And then the people he's just fed on the other side, people that are part of this first miracle, they realize he's not coming back. He's gone over, he's not going to come back. So they get in their boats and they travel across to the other side of the lake. They meet Jesus. And the disciples, they seem to be quite impressed by this. They've made this journey across the lake to hear him, but Jesus is not. There's my Bible. Awesome. Right, good, just when I needed it. They would go across, the disciples seem impressed, but Jesus isn't. In verse 26 of John 6, we read, Jesus knows exactly why they're really there. And he says to the crowd, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He's like, you didn't come to hear my great teaching. You didn't hear to come the words of come to hear the words of life. You didn't come even to see a miraculous sign. You came because you heard that I catered. Yeah, they're there just for the food. And Jesus, I at this point would be like, oh, for goodness sake, forget it. But thankfully, Jesus isn't like that. Jesus amazingly turns it into a teaching moment. You know, they're there looking for real bread. And he says, but hang on, I am the bread you're looking for. I am the bread of life. And any other circumstance, if somebody comes up to you and says, I am bread, you're allowed to call the mental health service. In this case, it makes perfect sense. He said, you come looking for bread. You've come looking for earthly bread, but what is in front of you is so much more amazing. What's in front of you is me, and I am the bread of life. And I don't want to skip over the fact that he uses those words, I am. You know, if there's one thing that's going to get me excited when I read the Bible, it's reading those two words, because those two words, they were the name of God from the Old Testament, I am. And so when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he is kind of winking at us through time, saying, yeah, you know, I am God. I am the bread of life. But they didn't quite understand. They didn't quite get it yet. And he said, I am the bread of life. But what did he mean? You know, we've looked at it a little bit with the children, but what did he mean when he said, I am the bread of life? Because it seems like a weird thing to say. Well, in biblical times, bread, and even today in a lot of cases, bread is a staple. It's one of those basic building blocks that pretty much everyone has. You know, cake and caviar, those are things for rich people. Bread is for everybody. And when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am for everybody. I am for everyone. When he says he's the bread of life, he's talking about the sustenance that people get from bread. Everyone every day would get daily bread. They would eat and have their fill and they would be satisfied. But he's saying, hang on a second, I am bread. I am going to satisfy. I am going to give you everything you need. But he also says, I am bread that doesn't just sustain you like earthly bread, but I am bread that actually gives you life. Bread doesn't give you life. Bread sustains your life. But Jesus is the bread that actually gives you life. It's the bread that truly satisfies. And the fact is, you know, you might be sitting here this morning going, oh, I know all this. I've met the bread of life. I've eaten of the bread of life. I know Jesus. But the thing is, how often do you still settle for dissatisfaction? How often do you still try and fill that need for something, that kind of, that nagging inside with something else? For me, it's Netflix. You know, find a good series on there, I just fill my life with that because that is going to, I think, give me satisfaction. I'm going to be happy if that happens. And always come to the end of a series and there's just this feeling of emptiness, a feeling of just kind of, is that it? Really, is that it? And that's because I'm not coming all the time to the bread of life, the one that truly satisfies, the one that gives us life in all its fullness. The people, when they hear that of this bread of life, or just before that, they ask, how do we get it? How do we get this life? They're a little bit more dramatic. I love this. What do they say? They say, sir, from now on, give us only this bread. And I just like, you're so over dramatic. Or maybe that's just me. But they're like, give us this bread. And what do we do to get this bread? And Jesus says, what must we do to do the works God requires to get this bread? And Jesus says, the work of God is this, to come and believe in the one he sent. If you're really looking for satisfaction, if you're really looking for that emptiness inside to be filled, if you're looking for adventure, then all you have to do is come and believe in the bread of life. Come and believe in Jesus. And you may be sitting there today going, yeah, I believe. But when was the last time you came to him? You know, when's the next time you're going to come to him? He's available all the time. You know, always coming to him, always being able to get that satisfaction that will lead us to never be spiritually hungry and never spiritually thirsty. So yeah, tonight the invitation is there. It's for all of you, just like bread, which, by the way, there's a lot of if you want some. It's for all of you. Come and get satisfied. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you did send Jesus to be our bread, to be our daily bread, to be the bread of life, that we might truly be satisfied on this earth, that we might live adventurously, live amazing, fulfilled lives because we come to you. Father, thank you for the craziness of this morning. Thank you that we can have fun in your presence, that, Lord, you have ordained that we would be people who are satisfied in every way if we would just come and believe. Help us this morning, Lord, to overcome our unbelief. Help us to come in humility. But thank you, Lord, that is available to all of us. Amen.